FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We've got a special guest in the studio, and his name... Look, I've got to ask you, it's Steve. Do you prefer Steve or Stephen?
It's up to you, Ian. You go with what...
Well, no, it's your name. It's your name. Is it Steve or Stephen? Which would you
prefer? Let's call it Steve, shall we?
All right, Steve. And then the next question is it double or double?
Oh, well, if we were in France, it would be double, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
But we're not, so we'll say double.
Double, right. Because there is a...
Steve double, he's trouble.
Double trouble. All right. How are you, Steve? You all right?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. You know, obviously, like, I've come straight from work and I don't really have any notes prepared, but it's nice to be back. And I thought when I came before, I was with Tony Trowbridge, aka Not Dead Yet, the street artist, remember. And it was a while ago, wasn't it?
He sprayed our thing down there, didn't he?
He sprayed everything. Yeah. If you stand still long enough, he'll probably spray you.
When you say work, where are you working?
At St Mary's Hospital.
What do you do there?
Try and keep the building going, maintain the facilities and keep the utilities, keep the lights on, and generally like compliance stuff. Stealth maintenance, the stuff you don't really know goes on, but goes on behind the scenes, I guess.
Yeah, we all just wander in and expect, don't we?
I mean, the NHS isn't just doctors and nurses, is it? There's lots of other people working there, so I'll just give a shout out to them because it's a... There's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of staffing pressures and resource pressures and changes, so anyone that's helping to keep public services going in the NHS, the family and friends.
Good for you.
Shout out for them on this programme.
Good for you and thank you. All right. Thanks for coming in. See you again soon.
Well, is that the door? So look, I just like it because I'd encourage anyone to come on your programme because it's just no frills, it is what it is. And there's no facade and you can just come in and you're part of the community. And I think from speaking to you before, the reason you get out of bed and go to work in the morning is because you think you're making a difference and you want to change people's lives and help people.
Yeah.
You're not doing it because you want a brand new Range Rover to keep up with the neighbours.
No.
You're doing it because it's something you believe in. So,
absolutely.
And so that's what I got from the last interview. So I thought... I'm going to come back, and I haven't got Tony Trowbridge. I'm on my own, but I don't know if that's good or not. We'll see.
I think it's all right. We can do it without Tony. You got loads of stuff around you. You say you got nothing sorted out. Neither have I, and I very rarely do, because I like just to see where we go. Who knows where this? But I know that
Rock
you've
and
got.
Roll.
Yeah, exactly. I know that you've got a load of stuff there. You got what I'm interested in is there's a. I live in Gunville West, posh part.
Is there a posh part? That's controversial.
Yeah, it is. I don't think I'll be able to go home now. And parts of Carisbrook, there's a magazine. They do deliver a magazine. And you said that there's a magazine there that you've been in. It's a Wotton.
No, this is the Wotton Bridge Church of England Parish Magazine. So this is only delivered by volunteers, free, and it's nearly 2,000 households in the Wotton Bridge area. So... I was trying to do a story, and I've actually trying to make a film about a subsistence small holding near where I live, and they've got a breed of goats called the Guernsey, Golden Guernsey, and they've achieved something by getting the Royal Charter from King Charles and Camilla, who went on a rearranged visit to the Channel Islands and bestowed this sort of Royal Charter on this particular breed of goat. Basically because it's the indigenous goats of the Channel Islands, the Golden Guernsey goats, and they were faced extinction, and they're still very, very rare on endangered species list. Because during the Second World War, when the Channel Islands were occupied by the Nazis, basically everything that could move was eaten, and these were kind of rescued and saved from extinction by kind of the brave local islanders who hid their existence and kept them alive in caves. I think at the end of the Second World War, there was only 12 pairs. And from this 12, they could breed them. And all of the Guernsey goats now have come back from the Dawn Gates of Extinction via this 12 small herd. And we've got them on the Isle of Wight now, and we took them to the agricultural show. And I thought people would be wowed by them, and they'd be like, this would be the biggest stage for them. And they kind of went unnoticed. And I thought... Their story is quite poignant, really, and it was quite the fact that we've still got them, and the fact that they are quite a good breed for like small holders and people that They don't have massive acres of grazing land. You can have a small garden and you can keep these type of goats and quality of milk for dairy products.
I just had a stupid idea. You get them in. How many is there?
Well, there's the thing is we're trying to get more of them. That's it. So we don't, because they are, we don't want them to be an extinct species. Because
how many you got then?
I think we, at one time we had 13, and then we've got about 6 parcels of land around the island where we've got a breeding stock and programme for them.
You could get your best well-behaved ones, bring them in.
Could I?
In the studio, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with some hay.
Just create some, create a
Christmas
story.
Christmas scene, like a manger, yeah.
It's brilliant. I'm actually serious.
How
much fun is that going to be?
I don't know. It might be fun for you. The goats are very placid. They like people. They love children. Yeah. And they're not... People have this stereotypical picture of a goat that butts you and eats your washing and it runs off. But these aren't really like that. That's why I think if they had been wiped out, we'd have lost the breed totally.
Yeah. Let's be honest. If a goat can eat your washing is too low. They're not the biggest creatures, are they?
No.
Is this really what you wanted to come in and talk about?
Talk about goats. Yeah. Whatever floats your goat.
Now, look, I know you got a gig coming up, haven't you?
This is with Voodoo Raven, the Islands rock band, and they've had a review in a national magazine, Vive La Rock, so 6 out of 10 for rock music from the island.
Brilliant.
Recorded at Chow Abbey Studios, all original. So I've been working with them. I started working with them because they did some gigs to raise money for my Operation Geranium project, which I've talked about before. And I'm still kind of working with the band, really. I mean, it's sort of there's not many bands that are original and do their own songs. So
that's Voodoo Raven. You've got a CD.
It's the 13th, Friday the 13th, a very sort of auspicious day.
Yeah.
And it's in December, and it's at the Black Sheep Bars in Ryde. And there'll be the new EP, 4-track EP, is out. The artwork is by Tony Trowbridge, and he spray painted the picture disc. I think you call it a gatefold CD to the old days we talked about before, and you've got all the lyrics of the album listed inside, like on the old record covers which we used to collect and treasure.
So we could look at that and see if there's any naughty words in it, and if there's not, we can upload it into the system.
Exactly, good. Yeah, but I think you've got to come to a gig and see them live to be able to buy this one.
Oh, really?
But then we'll see you down the front December the 13th.
Hang on a sec, why have you brought it in then?
Talk about the artwork.
All right, so
I couldn't bring Tony, but I bought some of his artwork.
But you're not prepared to give me that disc, so I can upload it onto the system.
I don't know whether the band would shoot me. Maybe we can. Yeah, I'll get another one.
So Voodoo Raven Rock. It's a rock gig.
Yeah, they're a sort of rock trio, really. I mean, the throwback to the. I mean, the reviews throwback to bands like Saxon, Black Sabbath, Guns N' Roses. Great guitar playing. If you haven't seen them yet, because they don't get to play many places, because the island's got this sort of cover band thing. If you're not a cover band, then you can't really play.
Oh, really?
Well, it's difficult to get gigs if you're an original. I mean, we've lost a lot of venues. In Ryde, we used to have the Arena and the Town Hall and the White Rock. So there's not so many venues. I mean, I think with COVID, that sort of affected the music industry. Not so many people touring with bands anymore. Not so many venues, shorter tours. So,
okay,
that's the music industry, isn't it?
I'd imagine if you're a rock band as well, you're going to be quite loud. So you need a big venue. Where do we have big enough venues here on the island? I'm guessing we do. Strings is a good place.
Yeah, Strings is up and running. So that's one venue that we've got. Yeah.
Have Voodoo Raven ever played the festival?
Have they ever played I don't know that they have. They've definitely played Strings. I guess there might be a place where they can play at the festival, because there's multiple stages, isn't there?
They've got a couple of violin stages as well, so it'd be good to get them involved in that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they had a chance to play a festival in Wales, and they've got a kind of management still in America, so they kind of arranged for them to play this festival of people like Nick Kershaw, 80s people were playing, and they've gone and played that. And I think it was logistically not sort of sound, really. And so offers come in, don't they, I suppose, and maybe, I think the album, the full album, Picture Disc CD, has sold all right in some parts of Northern California in record stores. So there may be some a trio of gigs out there, sort of thing. It's quite a long way to go to get a gig, I suppose, but
yeah.
I reckon we should do it.
Yeah, definitely. So these
room
guys
on the plane for you, perhaps.
But so instead of the snakes, yeah. So these guys are all based on the island.
They are based on the island now. Although, yeah, the two people on the original sort of the full CD were one's gone back to California to the sunshine, didn't like the rain so much. Yeah, there's a choice between living in the Californian life and being in bands or trying to get to the Isle of Wight.
He sounds like the brainy one of the team, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, it is what it is, isn't it? You know, you come in, you move here, and you kind of like, you can carry on doing what you've done all your life as a musician for 50 years, producing and writing songs, or you can join a covers band and play gigs in tiny little pubs sort of thing. So
you best name this band. You better tell us who does what in Voodoo Raven.
Bass player, you've had him on the on Rex's Radio, Jeff Bissanini, and now we've got a new island bass guitarist, which is a lot easier to arrange gigs and the flights from California, Steve Worry, and Terry Eustace drums. So there you go, that's all named on the albums. That's it, yeah.
Wow, okay. And
sometimes Nigel Hutchins, the original vocalist in the original band that was formed at the Marquee Club in 1975 but came from the island, Stormtrooper, and they had a single called I'm a Mess, I think, which went into the Punk Rock Hall of Fame.
Oh, right.
Very early sort of punk days.
Okay.
And then Nigel Hutchins, I've mentioned him before, went on to run the Marquee Club, so you should get him on your programme because he'd have a lot of stories.
I wonder if we're related because my mum's a Hutchins.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, it's a big name on the island.
Really? Yeah.
Wow. Cousin Nigel.
I brought Tony Trowbridge in with. It's better for me to bring someone in with me than I don't have to do all the talking, do I? And I can just sort of like.
Well, you're doing all right so far, aren't you? So
I'm just waiting. You haven't asked me any questions yet, though. So it could go downhill then.
Well, let's. I'm just going to ask you because you touched on Operation Geranium. So just tell us how long was it you started it? Is it still going now? How's it all going?
Oh well, that's a very good question. It started in 2020, really, and it was kind of a reaction to the situation with COVID when it sort of was an emergency and it was an outbreak and it was new. And people felt kind of very confused about the changing rules and regulations, and a lot of older people felt very lonely and isolated. So there was really the voice of people that you work with in the Four P's project, and I was working with a charity called Care in the Garden and supporting them to actually have employment rights and to actually be able to carry on making a difference in the community. And they sort of said, well, we feel that the COVID has been a terrible thing for older people, and our older relatives and grandparents are suffering. We'd like to do something for them, but they are growing plants which they couldn't sell, like other businesses were shut down. They went online, but we just managed to get some plants. The geranium was just a thing of chance because I said, "Well, what plants have you got a lot of?" And they said, "We've got hundreds of geraniums we can't sell." So I just started buying them all and giving them away to neighbours and friends for their gardens. And then Age UK got involved and other people got involved, and it just spiralled that we had sort of teams of volunteers from Age UK with a client list of people that they wanted to visit and kind of make sure were okay and had whatever needs they had were kind of being met to some level. They could take a plant with them as an icebreaker and then have a picture with them to make up a video and a poster. So sort of 400 or 500 plants every year. We get sponsorship. We don't sort of, the Age UK door closed because they struggled with the shops being shut and their income generation being sort of cut. But then another company, Kia, who deliver on sort of green transport cargo bikes, and they sort of said, we'll deliver them for free, you know. So I've kept it going, really, and they go to old people's homes, hospices, Age UK, libraries, shops, cafes, and just for older people, really.
How brilliant. How brilliant. And it's still going. Something you started in COVID.
Yeah, four or five years later. Well, I think for some people, a lot of things are still very negative. And I did a talk and ride in Newport Library, in fact, about Operation Geranium, and people came, had not been out for 2 years, and they said, we wanted to come and find out where our plants came from, to find out the story behind it all. Right. And they said, well, we don't go out and our behaviour's changed, our social life has changed since COVID. I think for a lot of older people, it's still a thing, you know. I mean, it's not going to go away.
See, I think you're right. I think over the last couple of years, you know, a lot of emphasis on young people, and yes, they had it tough, but we kind of take our eye off the ball, and that is, you know, there are a number of people of a certain age that it was also tough for, and they're still struggling.
That's it, and maybe those people don't have so much of a voice, and you know, they're kind of a voiceless. And I think, you know, Age UK and a lot of the other projects, I know Aspire and the Living Well project's taken on a lot of the council contract. There's still a big population of older people on the Isle of Wight, and that is our demographic, isn't it? And we struggle to provide services that support an older population with complex medical needs, and that's, you know, social care and all of those sort of things are kind of
we've kind of gone backwards, haven't we? I mean, my thoughts are, I mentioned something earlier on, you know, the fact that it's 40 years ago roughly that they recorded Band-Aid for starving people in Ethiopia, and here we are 40 years later, we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of food banks in the UK.
Yeah,
that's how far we've fallen behind.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, I know in some ways we've gone forward, but in other ways, you know, the people that were struggling are struggling even more so now.
Yeah,
that's how sad. Look, I notice the time's getting on.
Yeah,
and I don't want you to miss your moment where you think, what's the most important reason for coming in today? What have you?
I think what you're talking about is inequality, isn't it? You've got this big gap between the rich and poor, and you've got the working sort of people who are actually working and can't afford to buy a house or pay rent or pay the bills because of the cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
So that's what's sort of changed, isn't it? I think.
A lot of it's changed.
Yeah.
And you know, when you just put it into context and you think, here we 40 years ago we were doing this, you know, for Ethiopia, and here we are 40 years later. I mean, I don't know how many food banks there are, and I know that in actual fact, a lady came in from the council last week, she said that there are 18 places on the island where you can go and get some assistance with food. So,
and they wouldn't be there if there wasn't a need for them.
Exactly.
That have got that option neither.
And you think how sad that we've gone backwards in that respect. And you know, yes, there's a lot more wealth in the world, but there's also a lot more poverty and a lot more poor people that can't even, you know, feed themselves properly, which is incredibly sad.
I think it's a big problem, isn't it? I mean, farming is a thing. We need to get back on the land and start producing food and from the land, and I think, you know, we need to support farming and smallholding. And I think supermarkets are just like cut the price of what farmers can get for their produce. I mean, supermarkets haven't been affected by the cost of living crisis, and their profits have still soared because people go to them and buy.
It's really strange you say that, because I look at when was the first time we got a McDonald's in 1986 for the first time.
Yeah.
But I think there was a Tesco in Ryde, and that arrived in about 1984.
Yeah.
So big supermarkets
out of town, out of affecting high streets.
We only had from about the mid 1980s onwards.
No.
And you don't have to be like really bright to work out what's happened since to our high streets.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I just want to ask you this question again. What's the most important thing that you came in here with? What was the message? Was there something?
There's so much, isn't it? Really, just like just supporting public services that are really struggling just keep people like. I think Vectis Radio out there in Vectis Radio Land, 104.6 and online, you keep doing what you're doing, you know, and that's what we've got. I mean, a lot of people have like said this isn't right and that isn't right. We're in a time of change, aren't we? And we've got to try and we've just got to go with it and see if it is transformational. Are things going to improve for everybody? And that's what we want to see. So we have to be hopeful, don't we?
Yeah.
So I think it's a message of hope, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's got to be.
Hope over experience, perhaps.
Are you giving me that CD or not?
Yeah, I am now, because I can't. Yeah, no.
Can I put it on a playlist?
You only want it for the artwork, though, don't you?
No,
you're actually going to listen to it?
No, I'm going to put it on the playlist.
Yeah,
I'll listen to it. Yeah, of course I'll put it on the playlist.
You know, because people say to me, I haven't got a CD player. What's the point of giving me a CD? And then they say to me, well, can't I just listen to it online? I'm on Spotify and all this. And I said, okay then, so there's no point making a record or a CD or producing anything because you're not going to pay for it. You just wait till someone like Coldplay can afford to release a new CD online and you'll listen to it then. So what about all the other bands in the world that haven't got the money and that aren't not self-funded and don't have masses of
Must be hard. It must be hard.
You think your job's hard?
Well, no, my job is not hard work. It's a bit stressy from time to time. It's dealing with certain things, but...
Yeah, dealing with people and that. Yeah.
I never said that, you did.
Yeah. No, but, yeah, but as we get back to the motivation of what gets you... You don't go to work because...
No.
You do it for the... Because you want to make a difference to people and you want to change.
Yeah, I think that's most of it. Yeah, that's most of the reason for getting out of bed. But just going back to the music world, music industry now, I always remember interviewing Chris Difford probably about 25 years ago.
And he
actually said that the music scene now, not so much the scene, but the business, the industry now, is very much like creating your own CDs, creating your own music... And then going down the market to sell them.
It's gone back, hasn't it? I mean, it's gone through a lot of change. I mean, we got back to the 70s when everyone had limousines to pick them up and take them to hotels, and money was sort of just there. It's gone back to more of a do-it-yourself, like a punk era sort of thing, isn't it? And you know, but
sadly,
I think sometimes you get these bands that are big, and you think, well, you've got a million followers on Instagram because you're in a TV commercial. But your actual music is like, you're not there because your music's good. You're there because, you know, celebrity.
That's where we are.
We live in a celebrity world, don't we? I mean, I recently had a short break holiday and I went to Cheltenham. And I thought, this is an affluent, sort of nice place. And there was a local gallery selling art. And I collect art. And I've had art exhibitions. And I've got a winter art trail around the Isle of Wight. And I went to this art gallery and every picture was by a celebrity. So I said, this one's Bob Dylan, this one's Ronnie Wood, this one's Johnny Depp, this one's... I thought, this one looks odd. I thought, it looks like it's been painted by a child at primary school. He said, it's £9,000. I said, well, who did it? He said, oh, that's the Boy George range. And I said, do you sell them? And he said, yeah, when he comes to the shop and does a live sort of talk with everybody, people love to meet him. And they always buy lots of his paintings. And he said, we've got a gallery in New York and one in London and one in Cheltenham. I said, that's a great business to be in, isn't it? So it's almost a no-brainer. I said, what about if someone's really good at art? I said, we wouldn't be able to, probably wouldn't have them in the shop because people want to buy art by celebrities.
That's it. Sadly, I mean, that's what we've become as people, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it is kind of sad.
On celebrities.
Hey, look, we are running out of time.
Yeah, I bet we are.
I just want to, you know, is there anything really, really important that you wanted to say before you leave?
Just don't give up hope.
Well, I was hoping you were going to come in and promote something. Is it?
I've tried.
You've done. You tried. What's the event? The event.
Voodoo Raven.
Yeah. 13th.
Friday the 13th. You won't forget that date.
No.
December.
Yeah.
Black Sheep Bars in Ryde.
Right.
Yeah. Come down and buy the EP. It's only going to be a handful of Shrekel coins that you can get from the bar on your return. and it's self-funded, so the money will get as soon as they've got the money, the band will probably spend it on another CD, so it won't be wasted then, will it? You won't be paying into a corporation or anything.
No.
You'll be keeping people that are kind of retired and old enough to know better, really, already wired, should be retired, to carry on doing what they love doing. So,
I hope you're not offended by this, but you are officially the strangest interview, but also the most interesting... Because you sat down and I didn't know what I was going to get.
It's like a blessing and a curse together, isn't it?
I think it's a good thing, actually. It's fascinating. Fascinating. Yeah. I'd love to talk to you for longer, but you have to come back.
Well, I've
always leave the crowd wanting more.
Well, that's a good thing to finish on, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll leave the stage, exit right, and
left.
I'll be back.
Don't go, there's not one there. No. Left, you've got to go out that door.
Okay.
All right. But put this in your diary, Voodoo Raven, fabulous rock band. If you want more evidence of that, keep listening to what we do, because we play a lot of Voodoo Raven on the show. And
Ian's going
to
play tracks from the new EP.
Well, I can't, because it's there in the packet. Yeah. You haven't even opened the packet yet.
Just handing it over.
Which thing I am, Randini, I can get that on there in the tube.
A lot of people thought Randini should get a medal, but unfortunately he didn't.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'll take that from you, and I'll put it on the playlist at some point. But we can't put it on there now because no. you don't have a CD player in this room.
No, because you've probably got months in advance of the playlist because you're so well organised.
Seven days. I'll make sure that if you'd have sent me this earlier, I could have put it on.
I only got it yesterday. It was shoved through my door.
Hey, look, Steve. Great to see you.
Take care of yourself.
And hope the gig goes well. 13th, down at Ride.
Black Sheep Bars. Union Street. Yeah.
Just turn up on the night.
Yeah, you just turn up. You'll get in.
You won't be disappointed.
Like.
They're a brilliant band.
Well, let's hope so. Well, if you're coming to see kind of like Coldplay, you might be disappointed. But if you're coming to see a rock band that's on the island, then you shouldn't be, no. This is it.